If we knew more about our sleep, what would we do differently? Would we go to bed at a consistent time or take steps to reduce interruptions to our sleep? With Sleep Score, Apple Watch measures your bedtime consistency, interruptions, and sleep duration. Then, every morning it combines these factors into an easy-to-understand score from 1 to 100. So you'll know how to take the quality of your sleep from okay to very high. Know your sleep score with Apple Watch. iPhone 11 or later required.
Kraft Mac and Cheese is better than 90s hip-hop. We'll remind you of your childhood without making you feel incredibly old. Kraft Mac and Cheese, best thing ever.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part, our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
And the Michigan Wolverines are on their way.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
UConn will head to the national championship.
The Rich Eisen Show.
The UCLA Bruins have won the women's basketball national championship.
Earlier on the show, ESPN college basketball analyst Seth Greenberg. Coming up, the Ringer NFL draft analyst Todd McShay. Comedian Jeff Ross. And now, Rich Eisen.
Hour number two, The Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We've had March Madness on our minds through hour number one. Seth Greenberg on the men's national championship game tonight. We've just spent a whole bunch of time on UCLA's boat racing of South Carolina to cut down the nets and add a women's championship trophy and banner for the first time since the NCAA recognized women's basketball to Westwood. And we didn't really hit at all on the subject matter that everyone was talking about over the weekend with Gino Auriemma. We'll do that later on. Wanted to give UCLA its due first. But it is the month of the NFL draft and the first full week of April. And it is Masters week as well. But let's focus on the NFL draft. And returning once again is the host of the McShay Show and from The Ringer, ladies and gentlemen, Todd McShay back here on The Rich Eisen Show. Good to see you, Todd. How are you, brother?
What's going on, crew? How are we doing?
We're doing well. Do you want to answer, crew?
What's up, Todd?
We're doing great.
Hey, Todd.
We're doing great, Todd.
I care more about them than
couldn't
I
be more
Rich.
Excited.
I know. It's all right. I understand that. I understand that.
Great to see you.
But it's great to see you. I saw your comments about Ty Simpson. You're very high on this kid, and I'll give you the floor on what you're seeing out of him and why you think he's one of the best, if not the best, quarterback prospect in certain aspects of the game. Todd, you go, sir.
I mean, I'm not Orlovsky, so I'm not going to take it there.
Right.
But
that's why I said certain aspects. That's why I said certain aspects.
That was a very important phrase.
Right. Yes.
I mean, through nine games this year, watching both players tape, Mendoza and Simpson was the better quarterback. Now, things drastically shifted. You know, you watch Mendoza, like the end of game heroics was phenomenal. You talk about Iowa, Oregon, Penn State, but you watch the first three quarters and change, and there was a lot to, you know, still had to kind of be improved upon. And then you're watching Simpson, and everything's NFL. It's pre-snap, it's IDing, it's scheduling, it's marrying his feet with the drops, with the concepts of the offense, balls out on time, anticipation, all of those things. Well, then, you know, eight, nine games. I think it was like the ninth or tenth game against Oklahoma. Brent Venables comes to town, figures out exactly how to defeat their pass protections. From that point on, there's a blueprint. He starts taking more hits. The run game was ranked 125th in the nation. And your top wide receiver, Ryan Williams as everyone knows him, kind of disappears. And so he starts taking hits and the gastritis, and he's down to 190 pounds by the end of the year. And it declined while at the same time, Fernando kept getting him better and better. And the Ohio, I feel like I was first to market. I'm just going to say it. Okay. Last summer, I was like, this guy can be a first round pick. I had Pete Thamel text me like, hey, are you sure? Like, and I really liked Fernando Mendoza a lot, but recognized there's areas that he had to improve. And then everyone's like, he's the number one overall pick. And I wasn't there yet until the Ohio State tape. And if you go back and watch that, and I heard Orlovsky about the first, and Dan and I are good. We text all the time, but I hear you on the 6 points through three quarters. But that was the best individual tape of any prospect in any game that I've watched. And I'm now 200 players deep into this draft and still cranking away. So you watch the toughness, obviously, after the first Caden hit. But then how about the second one in the end zone with his helmet against the ground? So he just kept getting better and kept matching the moments and exceeding what you'd expect from a quarterback with the consistency. The red zone, 27 touchdowns, no interception. Third and fourth down, he's like top five in the nation in every statistical category when you need the quarterback the most. So my big push on Ty Simpson was, it sounded like everyone was, oh, it's Fernando Mendoza, and then we got a bunch of other guys. And it's not the deal. Ty Simpson can be a good starter in the league. He just needs to go to the right place. Probably needs a little bit of time to sit and learn, but also needs game experience with just 15 starts. But whether it's Arizona trading back in, whether it's the Rams or another team that I think they, I know they had a lot of interest in one point, but I think multiple things have kind of shifted there. I think they would be the perfect place with McVay, but Simpson can play. He can start in this league and he can be really, really good. And I believe that. And I also think like Taylen Green's not getting enough talk. He could be a second round pick. You put him with the right people and give him 2 years to develop. There's something special there. Cole Payton is the most underrated prospect in the entire draft. I think he's a day two pick and is going to surprise some people coming out of North Dakota State. So there are some other quarterbacks, but I didn't want people to think that Simpson was kind of lumped in with the Nussmeyers, the Becks, the Paytons, the Greens, because he's not.
Well, I mean, I'm looking at your latest on the Ringer, Todd. Quote, Simpson can be Brock Purdy, but with more mobility and a little bit more juice in his arm. That's what I see on tape. Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, and where would Brock Purdy be if he didn't? And granted, we're talking about Mr. Irrelevant. So yeah, it's a different deal.
I get it, but
forget the draft picks. I'm just saying, like, stylistically, profile-wise, size, understanding of the game, I think there's a lot of, you know, we always try to do an NFL comp, right? He's the closest thing to it, and a guy who's had a lot of success in the league as a starter. So that's kind of my jumping off point for him. Now, I'm not saying that he's Brock Purdy had what, 48, some in the
that's
mid
the
to high 40s.
Difference, 40. Right? It's like he came with Bo Nix like experience, right?
He was the Bo Nix before we started getting quarterbacks with 50 high, right? 50s, low 60s.
Yeah. And Simpson's got a body of work in terms of experience at the collegiate level, like Trubisky. You know what I mean? And like that's what I'm saying is like we haven't seen it enough at the collegiate level, and that may be part of the evaluation that Ty Simpson's going to have to overcome, as opposed to stuff like
it's
you're pointing out of what you're
part.
Seeing. You know.
It's a huge part. If he was a, first of all, think about, I just talked about Mendoza, what he was 2024 at Cal,
right,
versus what he is now. Think about that 1 year of experience, mm-hmm, and how the growth we saw. And at quarterback, it's rinse, refine, repeat. It's so critical. Even talk like Chris Ballard talked to at the combine and had him on the show. You know, and we were talking about his struggles and trying to find the quarterback. But everyone I talked to in the league, and it's obvious why, it started with Parcells, right? The stand, the bar that he had with 25 starts, a college graduate, X amount of wins. So it's not like it's a new thing, but with NIL and with the transfer portal, it has been increased the emphasis on quarterback starts. So everything I'm saying about Ty Simpson is true. I've seen it with my own eyes. I know what I know, but I can't get over the, and that's why I have him ranked, you know, in the 25 to 35 range versus having him up in the top 10. And that's why he's going to go somewhere probably in that 25 to 35, 36 range, because there's a fear. And no, outliers suck, man. It's the worst time of year because you watch all this tape, you love all the things on tape, you have a belief in that individual. But then you tell me, and I know Reuben Bain's arms are short, didn't know they were that short. I know Cassius Howell's arms are short, didn't know they were that short.
Right.
I knew what the starts were going to be, but when Ty Simpson said, hey, I'm coming out this year, I'm like, my first reaction was like a mini gut punch, because it's like, oh, I'd love to see 12, 13, 15 more starts at Alabama next year, or transfer somewhere and go take the loot, go take the bag if you need to. But I'd love to see that, because that takes him out of the outlier category, where now he enters the league as a major outlier. There's no question.
Yeah, I don't know when you're going to do your next mock. I believe the 3.0 is a couple weeks old almost.
4.0 is next week.
Okay.
We can talk.
In terms of that, where do you see in your 3.0, you got Simpson going in the second round. You do not have him drafted in the first round.
So, I didn't make any trades in the last one. I would probably have Arizona trading up, kind of similar to what the Giants did last year.
It's for right? Jackson Dart, because they're right at the top of Friday, but the Jets are in front of them. So if they really like them,
right?
They're because again, the issue is there's the next year that looms. You know what I mean?
It's a huge issue.
And so
I've never talked to more general managers, right? Rich,
yeah.
about next year's class. Mm-hmm. You know.
So unpack that a little bit for me, because that is definitely part and parcel with the Jets sitting and Arizona sitting at the top of round two. Where does Simpson rank in all that, and how does 2027 loom over these proceedings?
Well, the Jets made a deal that they were offered.
Yeah.
For Quinnen. They were offered a second this year. Sorry, a first this year and a second next year, and flip-flopped it.
Yep.
In order to get that first next year, because everyone who needs one is looking ahead to next year. You've got Arch Manning, you've got Dante Moore, you've got Brendan Sorsby, you've got Sam Levitt now with Lane Kiffin down in LSU. I mean, you've got Lenora Sellers with another year of experience, might be the most physically gifted. So the list goes on.
You also have Trinidad Chambliss, unless he gets to a 10th year of eligibility at some point. I don't know.
Right. CJ Carr taking that next step at Notre Dame, and Iamaliava. And I mean, it's as loaded a class sitting, and we said this year's class was going to be great. So let's see where we are a year from now. But there's too many of them for it not to be a great class. And maybe when we look at it one day, say that's the best quarterback class we've ever had. So if you're the Jets, if you're Arizona, how much am I willing to give away in terms of compensation this year, where I could be utilizing that to get right for next year? The Browns aren't going to take Ty Simpson, because the Browns are trying to get right for next year. And maybe Shador has a phenomenal year this year, and it's a great problem to have. But the Jets are planning that way. Now, you say I can get him in the second, and I get a bunch of picks this year and next year. Yeah, it's a great value. Then we'll take him and we'll see what happens. But I think Arizona is the most intriguing fit. And I think the Rams have interest, but probably on their terms, meaning what, second round. So the market is interesting for Simpson, because there are people in the league that they kind of lean towards me and kind of agree. I haven't talked to anyone in the league that's quite as high as our buddy Dan, but there are some people that love him in the league. But I it's hard to find the right spot for him in terms of where does he definitively go with an existing pick in round one, because I'm not sure that it's there right now.
Who else might be the player that someone trades into the back end of the first round for that we're not talking about, Todd?
So here's what I think. I think this year's class is obviously it's unique, because some of the players at the top are not considered position value guys, right? The biggest positions. I've got 11 guys that I believe should go in the top 12. I'm going to bore you for a second. You ready?
Don't bore me. Go for it.
Fernando Mendoza obviously goes one. Let's say Arvell Reese goes two, and I'm not going to match him up after this, but these are the 11 names that I think go in the top 12. If not, we're talking 12, top 13, top 14. It's Mendoza, Reese, then Jeremiah Love, Sonny Styles, running back and linebacker. After that, Caleb Downs, again, another position, safety. You've got the two edge guys beyond Arvell Reese, who's converting from linebacker, in David Bailey, Texas Tech, and Reuben Bain from Miami. Carnell Tate. I think Tate's going to go earlier than we think, but we'll keep talking here. Yep. Francis Maui-Noah, an offensive tackle from Miami. Mm-hmm. Then the two cornerbacks, Mansoor Delane from LSU, and Jermon McCoy, who just blazed a time. And now all of a sudden we're back to the 2024 evaluation,
yep,
where he's an elite guy. Those are the 11. The reason I went through that, Rich, is then I think you're going to see, all right, we've got some good receivers like Mekhi Lemon and Jordan Tyson. We've got some good corners like Colton Hood. We've got a tight end who's going to go and Kenyon Sadiq. We've got some, you know, a couple other safeties and Dylan Thienemann and Emmanuel McNeil Warren. We've got some really good other players at other spots, but you watch how fast, and talking to people in the league in the last week or so, these offensive tackles and edge rushers go.
Yeah.
I think by the end of round one, we could have, let's say, minimum 14 between those two positions. So it's going to be, Spencer Fano from Utah. It's going to be
Freeling,
Caden Proctor, Freeling. It's going to be Lomu, Ian Achor, who we kind of thought fringe first. I think he's going, he might go top 25, 27 picks.
Yoanye too. The kid inside from Penn State. You know, by the way, you think Harbaugh is just across the way here in El Segundo for the Chargers? Is just like, please let him drop.
Please.
I'll put him next to Slater or Alt or whatever and just mash.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's just hoping something like that happens. You also have just in your TJ Parker, Mezidor, you mentioned.
The edges, yeah.
Right.
Parker, Mezidor, Keldrick Falk from right. Auburn.
Howell.
Cassius Howell. So Zion Young. Don't sleep on Zion Young from Missouri. So we're talking 14, 15 offensive tackles and edges. So if you ask me who's a guy who could sneak in, it could be one of those positions because there's a drop off, especially at tackle. To me, like Ian Achor, we didn't think was going to be a first rounder. I think he's a lock to go there. I think the two defensive tackles go too. And everyone's cooled on him, and I get it. Caden McDonald from Ohio State can't rush the quarterback. I get it. But have you watched his tape? Have you watched how dominant he is in a league now with the split safeties and playing that shell, and we need three guys to defend the run, and we got to stay multiple personnel? He's perfect up front, and I think there's more in him. And like a Dexter Lawrence wasn't the pass rusher in college that he is in the league. Peter Woods, I get it, shorter arms. Production wasn't great this past year. He's not far off of like a Mason Graham type, what he can provide for you. I'm not saying he's Mason Graham, but he's that kind of player. So I think those guys go late in the first, even though everyone right now is like, the interior defensive linemen are going to go in the second round.
So you think there's going to be such a run on tackles and edge rushers with such a drop after the first round?
It's going to push those receivers back.
But it might cause somebody to trade in to go get them while they can get them, is what you're saying.
Absolutely. So if you're asking me who's going to be traded up for, if it's not a quarterback, I would guess it's an offensive tackle. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, you better get him while you can, I guess.
Because then you got to wait till like the third round.
You don't,
Rich. If you don't get one of those seven, you got to wait to the third round or take one in the second that you'd like to be taking in the third.
Okay.
Man,
and it's so funny. I have not seen a mock where Dylan Thienemann is not a Minnesota Viking. It's just,
I mean, how do you not? You know what? I'm going to do the mock this week. I'm going to give him somebody else.
No, don't do that. Do what you think you need to do. I'm not. Don't succumb to what I'm saying.
It's kind of like when you watch a pregame and everyone picks Michigan tonight.
Don't say that. How dare you? How dare you, sir? How dare you? I got my mind off it by talking about the draft for 15 minutes, and you just brought me back, man. I don't know if you heard, by the way, Dexter Lawrence has asked for a trade from the Giants. That happened.
Good timing.
Yeah, Schefter just popped that one out there at the end of the first hour.
I did not see
that. Because I guess it's been 2 years he's been looking for a new deal, and he says, I'm not showing up to OTAs. See you later. Or I want to be out. Now, you know, money talks, and this sort of stuff would walk if the money talks. But right now he's making a stand. It's still early. So last one for you. Who are you not talking about? You mentioned a couple quarterback names earlier. Who are you want to pound the table for here? You think's rising, Todd?
I look at this class and I love a lot of the linebackers. I love a lot of there's a lot of good players in round two and round three. I'm just looking at this board right now. Like Jacob Rodriguez is going to go because he's a playmaker and a difference maker. But beyond that, Josiah Trotter from Missouri is an absolute just dog versus the run and a good football player. Kyle Lewis from Pittsburgh can cover like a safety. Some people think he is a safety. I just think he's one of the best 50 football players in this draft. So there's guys like that. I'll tell you what, too. I just recently finished up going back and looking at the running backs. And it's kind of like, all right, we've got Jeremiah Love from Notre Dame. Then we got his running mate, Jadarian Price, who I'm not quite as high as some people, but I recognize he's probably going to go mid-late second-round range. I think the guy that everyone's sleeping on at this point, and it was like a hot name early, and no one. I look at Jonah Coleman, and I watch his run style after I watch all the running backs, right? I came back, and I watched him. He's a bowling ball. He's got these light feet. He always runs with pad level. He wears you down. He brings this energy to an offense. I think in a running back class, it's not like a year ago where we had 26 guys go, six in the first three round, 20 on day three. I think he'll probably fall to the fourth round. And I think a team's going to get a starter. I really think he's going to be that kind of player. So it's guys like that. I've been watching a lot of the day two and early day three guys recently. I just think there's a lot of values there, like a Tecario Davis, Washington, a tall, long corner, like just physical, the ability to play press man. And I could go on and on with some of these positions in the kind of that third, fourth round range.
Todd, you the man. Thanks for the time. Greatly appreciate it.
All right, brother. Good talking to you.
Let's do this. Let's do this as many times as you're up for it. Certainly.
I'm here.
When's the 4.0 coming up?
4.0 is next Wednesday.
All right.
And then we leave Sunday for L.A. We'll be out your way for the entire week of the draft. You can go to Pittsburgh, and I'll take over in L.A.
All right. So how about this? Let's have you on next Wednesday.
Okay.
And then if you're here in L.A., the Monday of the draft, you're right here. Literally in
awesome.
This chair.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm not doing a show that Monday, so that'll work out.
All right, listen, this is how the sausage gets made, everybody. This is great.
Perfect.
I love it.
Todd, when a plane comes.
Todd McShay. It's so rare people say I'm in town in L.A. They usually go, oh, I was in town. I forgot to.
Oh, I missed you.
Well done. I appreciate it, Todd. You're the man.
You got to guess. Have
everybody
a good one.
Check out the McShay Show wherever you get your podcasts through Simmons's very popular Ringer Network, or follow him. And all of his stuff on the Ringer. Yeah, he said, I'm not going full Orlovsky on Ty Simpson. Nobody's very high on him.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, you didn't see a lot of it.
Nope.
You saw some of it. Yep. You didn't see too much of it.
Nine games, he was great. Then what?
Well, very, very rarely. And I've done this for about a quarter century with the draft. Do you hear? He had a gastritis. Well, we'll see. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Maybe that's what Gino had. 844-204, and I don't mean Smith. Gino Auriemma, we'll talk about that next.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
No one likes having to choose. That's why, with America's best lineup of hybrids from Hyundai, you get the best of both worlds, like the reliable and efficient Tucson hybrid with America's best warranty, or the stylish yet capable Santa Fe hybrid with the power to navigate the toughest terrain. It's like having your cake and eating it too, but, you know, better. Hybrids from Hyundai. It's the best of both worlds. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Rich Eisen here. The April 15th tax deadline is coming fast, but don't worry. Hand off your taxes to a TurboTax expert today. You know how April feels. Everything speeds up. Games matter more. Hoops and hockey schedules tighten. Your phone won't stop buzzing. And somewhere in the middle of it all, there's that quiet little reminder. Taxes. You'll get to it tonight or tomorrow or after the weekend. And if you handle it the old way, you're refreshing your inbox like it's breaking news. Waiting, wondering, hoping everything's squared away. That's a lot of mental bandwidth. With Intuit TurboTax Expert Full Service, you can match with a dedicated expert who understands your specific tax situation and handles your taxes for you, start to finish. You can do it all online or meet in person at one of their new tech-enabled store locations. Have your tax forms imported directly into the app and hand everything off to your TurboTax expert. While they work to get you every dollar you deserve, you can go about your normal routine, giving you time back to focus on what actually deserves your attention, like rooting for your team to make the playoffs. April 15th is not waiting, people. Visit TurboTax.com and hand off your taxes to a TurboTax expert today.
Need parts fast? O'Reilly Auto Parts has fast. Need them now? We've got now. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. We're O'Reilly Fast. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Gino Auriemma was way off the other night. His team was way off, and then he was way off. And when he was going at it with Dawn Staley after South Carolina dispatched UConn with the back of its hand for the second half performance, I thought to myself, this had to be about something during the game because of Gino's soliloquy to Holly Rowe at the top of the fourth quarter. Very rarely do those interviews actually yield anything.
Right.
But this one did, because Gino was talking about how the officiating and how in all of his time, he's never seen a player have their jersey ripped and the refs said they didn't see it. And then basically accused Dawn Staley of working the refs in such a profane manner. But he used the words that are somebody who's around women as much as he is in his life has to know the words ranting and raving are charged words. Just use that on the woman in your life and see how it goes. If you're a man, see how that one works. You're ranting and raving. And it's also words that you don't usually equate to another male coach. But that said, those are charged words. I heard that. I'm like, whoa. And then that happened during the aftermath. I'm like, what happened during the game? Then we find out it's not about what happened during the game. It's what happened before the game. And then we found out about the jersey rip during the game came because the player herself ripped the jersey. And that's why the refs missed it, because it wasn't on the court. And that's why Gino missed it. It wasn't on the court. And then these comments that were said during the game, he was clearly steaming from the beginning because Dawn Staley apparently made him wait 3 minutes to shake hands. But then we saw a photograph of them actually shaking hands before the game because they all went down the line. Like, this photograph exists apparently before the game. Again, they're announced by the stadium public address announcer, and Gino was standing there waiting and left empty-handed by Dawn Staley. And he was steaming about it all game to the point where he let her have it after the game in such a way that there was a set to. I mean, what was that all about? And then after the game, asked if he regretted what he told Holly Rowe and what came afterwards. This was his answer.
I don't have any regrets about what I said to Holly Rowe. Why would I? Why would I? I've been coaching a long time. I've never had a kid have to change their jersey because somebody ripped it and the official said I didn't see it. I mean, there were a lot of things that happened in that game. Unless you're on that sideline, you have no idea what's happening on that sideline. For 41 years, I've been coaching and I've been, I don't know, 30, 25 Final Fours. And the protocol is, before the game, you meet at half court. Anybody ever see that before? Two coaches meet at half court and they shake hands. Correct? You ever see it? They announce it on the loudspeaker. And I waited there for like 3 minutes. So it is what it is.
It's just so unfortunate, especially since he's talking about what you know, unless you're on the sideline or on the bench. He clearly didn't know what was going on with, you know, his own player, Sarah Strong, and ripping her own jersey. And he clearly did regret what he did because he put out a statement the next day saying there's no excuse for how I handled the end of the game versus South Carolina. It's unlike what I do and what our standard is here at Connecticut. I want to apologize to the staff and the team at South Carolina. It was uncalled for in how I reacted. The story should be how well South Carolina played, and I don't want my actions to detract from that. I've had a great relationship with their staff, and I sincerely want to apologize to them. The only two words missing from that statement are Dawn and Staley. And Rebecca Lobo, who I love her work. She's awesome calling the games with Ryan Rucco. She mentioned during the broadcast that Gino, broadcast yesterday, that Gino had reached out to Dawn Staley, which I was glad to hear. Then after the game, Dawn Staley was asked about that, the game against UCLA. This is what she had to say.
Yeah, that's a Gino question, right? It really is a Gino question. I haven't heard from Gino, so I have not. That's not, I haven't. I mean, I got 800 text messages, so I don't know if he texted or not. But that's not, like, I don't want to, like, it's UCLA's day, right? And let's keep it UCLA, then winning the national championship. You know, again, I will address all of that at another time. It's just not this weekend. Like, we're not going to damper UCLA's day with it. We can talk about South Carolina us losing. We can talk about, you know, UCLA winning the national championship. And what's great about our game today.
So, and if case you're just joining us in the middle of our Monday show here, I spoke at length about UCLA's championship at the end of hour one. This is not what I led with from the women's game. Waited, because I wanted to give UCLA its due in spirit of what Dawn Staley said after the national championship game, and also what Gino mentioned during the middle of his statement that it should be about South Carolina's victory. So unfortunate. Gino's had better days. You could hear all those things, but I don't know. He was steaming all game. Steaming all game. And I know there are some who—that's what it seems like to me. I know there are many. You want to say? Go ahead.
Yeah, Sarah has a great take. She was watching this, and you know, she thinks that this is Gino kind of playing 4D chess, where he puts all the heat and the pressure on himself, and no one's talking about Sarah Strong going 4 for 16 and AZ Fudd going 3 for 15, and UConn only scoring 9 points in the fourth quarter. This is a way to kind of get people not to talk about that and how his team essentially choked when they won 50-something straight games and big, big favorites heading into this championship. Yeah. And we're not talking about that. We're talking about the coach being kind of an a-hole, and that's kind of genius if that's what it is.
Except I mean, there's years of film and interviews to show that, like, this isn't something out of the blue for this guy.
He's also done more for the sport than anyone maybe ever.
And then, by the way, you're not lying in terms of that. And, you know, last week when he was talking about whoever comes up with these schedules for,
he had a great point.
Some of these teams,
yeah,
that he was using his platform to basically say, I'm Gino Auriemma, and I'm telling you, this is not good for my staff. It's not good for my players. Not good for any staff. Not good for any players. Who the hell's coming up with these schedules that drags our asses out here to 7 a.m. and then we don't get on the court to practice till 6 o'clock at night? And then you're seeing all these 3-point shots bang off the back iron.
Yep.
And this is bad for the sport. And that's where Gino does what he should be doing on behalf of the women's game. But in that respect, too, you do have 40 years in coaching, and you do have 20 some odd Final Fours and all of these championships, and you need to be held to a different standard in that regard. And in that regard, if you are the standard bearer, then those South Carolina women who gave it to his UConn team,
sure did,
deserve to have him comport himself after the game, deal with Dawn Staley. Give her the swim move if that's what you want. Quick goodbye. Deal with this later on. Not there at center court for the whole world to see. And shake the hands of the South Carolina players who deserve to have their hands shaken by someone like Gino Auriemma and say, well done. I'll tell you this. If Taylor is ever so lucky to be in any situation like this, think about the parents of these young ladies again, the story that Holly Rowe told during the national championship game. I'll just tell this just as a specific story about Gabriela Jaquez, about how she was flying up. Did you hear that story she told during the game, that when she was in high school, there weren't a lot of people paying attention? So she was flying up to Oakland from Southern California to be part of an AAU team. Mm-hmm. Like, these are just stories about anybody out there, a parent of a kid who's trying hard to do their jobs.
To achieve something.
And achieve something in sports, right? The plane rides, the blood, sweat, and tears, all that, okay? If my daughter ever gets to be in a situation and beat a team like UConn and a coach like Gino Auriemma, I want him shaking her hand and saying, great job, because that's an affirmation. She deserves, and these players deserve, and he totally pooped the bed on that one, because he comported himself so poorly. Everyone's just like, just go to the locker room. He got ejected from the line, essentially.
Yeah.
Just go, man. If you're in this mood and you're doing this right now, and Dawn Staley is like going the other way. She didn't get through the line immediately. You could see that this was famously viral. She said, I'm going to beat Gino's ass. But that's how she was so enraged by what happened.
She was very confused when it first started. Yeah,
because it's about the pregame handshake, because she shook his hand. There was a second one that apparently he was made to wait 3 minutes.
3 whole minutes.
And there's a point last year where he was waiting for her in the same situation. I saw that video. And he was just having fun with it, kind of like, come on, I'm sitting here waiting, making his arm, saying, let's go. And he didn't make a big deal of that last year. You know why? Because they were the ones beating up South Carolina. Mm-hmm. This time he's the one who got beat, and this is his reaction? He knows better, and that's why he sent out that statement. But I truly feel for the South Carolina players, who deserve to have somebody of Geno's stature walk through the line, look them in the eye, and say, great game. Because he is the avatar of what you just mentioned, Chris. He is the avatar for the game. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't comport himself for 2 minutes. Then you go to Dawn Staley, call her up and say, what the hell was that?
Yeah, that's just a bad look, man.
And we're not talking about how his team underperformed.
I get it.
I can't sit here and
that's some four-dimensional chess, man.
He goes, you know what I'm going to do? Because they all yeah. look at the stats.
I don't know. I think he was steaming about it.
This dude's really smart.
I get it.
I think we're giving him too much credit then, because he has a history of being a little bit
ornery. I get it.
Yeah. Like, it's not like it's the first time it happened. You can't
also
give
has
him
a
that much
of
grace.
Really protecting his players. Which he could be doing in this
sentence. I mean, I get it. But instead of doing that,
at the detriment of the other team.
Instead of doing that, you own it when you lose. That's what you tell your kids.
Yep.
Own it. Get better. Failure helps in the long run.
100%.
You know
Act
what I
like
mean?
You've been there before, because you have.
You have.
You have a lot.
And the South Carolina players deserve to have the, if you feel this way, and his resume says it, the dean of the game to go down the line, look them in the eye, and say, great game. Because it does mean a lot if Gino Auriemma does that.
Yes.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. Take your phone calls. Jeffrey Ross, because we all need a laugh, certainly in this crazy-ass world. He's coming up in hour number three.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Rich Eisen here. Every time I travel for a major sports moment, whether it's a playoff run or a huge primetime matchup, I see firsthand what happens to a city. Hotels fill up fast. Energy builds. Everyone wants to be part of it. Now imagine that on a global scale. The FIFA World Cup is coming this summer, people, and with it, thousands of fans traveling to host cities across the country. If you happen to live in one of those cities and you're planning to be away, maybe you've got your own summer trip lined up, this could be a practical opportunity. While you're gone, you could list your space on Airbnb and welcome traveling fans who want to experience the FIFA World Cup in person. You're not changing your routine. You're not committing to anything year-round. You're simply making the most of a moment when your city is in the global spotlight. I know when I'm on the road for a huge event, having a comfortable home base makes all the difference. And that's what fans will be searching for. If you've ever thought about listing your space, this summer is a great time as we welcome FIFA World Cup fans. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. Rich Eisen here. The April 15th tax deadline is coming fast, but don't worry. Hand off your taxes to a TurboTax expert today. You know how April feels. Everything speeds up. Games matter more. Hoops and hockey schedules tighten. Your phone won't stop buzzing. And somewhere in the middle of it all, there's that quiet little reminder. Taxes. You'll get to it tonight or tomorrow or after the weekend. And if you handle it the old way, you're refreshing your inbox like it's breaking news. Waiting, wondering, hoping everything's squared away. That's a lot of mental bandwidth. With Intuit TurboTax Expert Full Service, you can match with a dedicated expert who understands your specific tax situation and handles your taxes for you, start to finish. You can do it all online or meet in person at one of their new tech-enabled store locations. Have your tax forms imported directly into the app and hand everything off to your TurboTax expert. While they work to get you every dollar you deserve, you can go about your normal routine, giving you time back to focus on what actually deserves your attention, like rooting for your team to make the playoffs. April 15th is not waiting, people. Visit TurboTax.com and hand off your taxes to a TurboTax expert today.
Pay no mind.
So we're talking a little baseball here for our radio audience. The Mets just came up with a nice weekend against the Giants. But the Giants fans, they're very knowledgeable. Do you know how knowledgeable they are?
How knowledgeable are they?
This is what the Sportsnet New York Mets broadcast, one of the best broadcasts there are. You know, I'm a Yankees guy. Mets fans are always on PIX. Okay, but this is the Mets, the Mets team. They're an outstanding broadcast team in the booth, and certainly their microphones, Mike, you'll appreciate this.
Goodness. Oh, yes.
They're clear as a bell. Certainly, when there's a Giants fan heckling the Giants about losing to the Mets after the Yankees came through to sweep them to begin the year.
Ball, one strike.
Oh, the Giants, wake up!
Oh, yes.
The Yankees left town last week. This is the B team. Wake up!
This is the B team. We very knowledgeable fans in San Francisco telling the Giants to wake up. The Yankees left town last week. This is the B team.
Well, that dude was clearly on some substance.
I don't think so.
Illegal substance.
I know. I think they're just locked in on baseball.
And alcohol.
It's a
Mets town. We know this.
What is San Francisco is?
New York's a Mets town, so we're not the B team.
Okay.
We're the A team.
That's what Juan Soto said when he left the Yankees to go to the Mets.
Yeah, that's why you're so anti-Soto.
No, I mean, there's many reasons why I'm anti-Soto.
Hatred in your heart?
No, because even fans around the country, from sea to shining sea, know who's the B team in NYC.
Yeah, the Yankees.
And it's the New York Mets. The Metropolitans, you don't lose to this team. They're the B team. Fantastic.
Mets are a team of the people, man.
Meanwhile, the Red Sox fan is acting like we're not talking about baseball.
But what can he say right now? You know?
What can you say?
We stink.
Yeah. It's the first month. You guys, calm down.
Terrible. It's almost like, did I say this on Friday? It's almost like they should have spent the money on Bregman and Pete Alonso. We can't get any hits. We can't hit it for power. We got nothing. Are the pitching guys we signed sucked? Ranger Suarez is awful.
Save this.
What are we doing? Did you hear the sell the team chants yesterday?
Oh, boy.
Sell the team.
Sell the team chants.
I got to tell you, though, you got hosed yesterday. Did you see that?
Yeah,
I know. Wouldn't have mattered. You're up 4-1. I mean, at the time, did you see this play, TJ?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, I mean, we're not going to show it. Manny Machado, they're trying to pick him off at first base. Catcher throws down with a short hop throw, but the first baseman's right there to grab it.
Yeah.
Machado's going back to the base and 100% purposely kicked the ball into foul territory.
Yeah.
And the umpires just like thought it was a booted ball or a hit runner, and too bad, Boston, ball's live and runners advance.
Yep.
He absolutely booted it on purpose. And no, look at it.
I'm watching it.
No question he did it.
I think it was, just
timing. No, that should be reviewable.
Bad.
That should be reviewable.
He didn't want to step on the ball and turn his ankle, Rich.
That should be reviewable. Did you purposefully interfere with the ball?
If so,
you're out. O-U-T, out.
This game of inches, bro.
If we're allowing a tap of a helmet to get a game of inches down to a millimeter, oh, that ball's a millimeter out of the strike zone, so it's a ball, not a strike, as it was called. If we're doing that, we should be able to review whether somebody is purposely booting the ball.
Hesitates, holds his foot up, and
absolutely
then kicks it.
No question.
He was trying to make sure the ball didn't hit him in his ankle.
Yeah, right.
So he was just
just like, I don't want to get hit, so I'm going to hit the ball myself with the bottom of my foot.
Doesn't sound like
purposely.
Man,
that was, dude. And you know it's so bad that I'm talking about the Red Sox being hosed. They're five back of the Yankees, and the season is barely a week and a half old.
Rich, clearly you've five never been back. Hitting an ankle with a baseball before, all right?
For small businesses, every hire counts, and so does your time. Hiring can quickly become overwhelming, from sorting applications to figuring out who's truly qualified. That's where LinkedIn Hiring Pro helps. It streamlines the process so you can focus on connecting with the right candidates, not managing the noise. Hire right the first time. Post your first job and get $100 off toward your job post at LinkedIn.com/Eisen. That's LinkedIn.com/Eisen. Terms and conditions apply. Chris in Riverside, California, right here in Southern California. What's up, Chris? What's going on?
Hey, good morning. Hey, I know you guys have been talking a lot about the whole women's game yesterday, but I appreciate it so much that you give UCLA women their due. I mean,
it's been
a long time coming. So, yeah, I mean, I just love to hear that. I mean, I think their thing, and I just appreciate that you guys giving them their due, because it was well deserved.
I think so too. And you know, obviously, we love in the media when coaches yell at each other, and you know, whenever there's a bad handshake moment in the NFL. I mean, Ben Johnson and Matt LaFleur. How many times do we talk about that? So achievements like the ones that UCLA came up with will get lost. But we wanted to give them their due, because it was an absolute beatdown, a beatdown of South Carolina, 100%. So
yeah, no, I mean, it's just that they came out to play, and I think I think that South Carolina kind of underestimated what the girls were going to do, and I think they just showed that they were a team of destiny.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate the time. Have a great week, guys. Talk to you later.
That's Chris in Riverside, California.
Chris,
that was great.
Let's go to Derek in Missouri. He's always hanging on. What's up, Derek?
What up, man?
I'm good, Rich. I asked you how you're doing, but I already know the answer to that question.
It's all good. Yeah.
But good luck to you and your Michigan Blue tonight.
Thank you.
On that note, I got what's more likely for you, sir. Ooh. Who, with the which receiver of their new team going into the 2026 season, or more likely had the better season, better year? Mike Evans or Dylan Waddle?
Oof. Thank you, Derek. Appreciate the call.
Waddle.
I lean there, too. Evans just – when was the last time Evans played all 17 games?
Let's look. Also, more mouths to feed in San Francisco, yeah?
I think so. Well, I mean, McCaffrey is the engine of the offense.
Mike Evans hasn't missed as many games as people make it out.
2023, he played all 17.
Okay.
Or that he might miss a game.
Well, I mean, he usually has a month-long soft tissue absence.
Not usually, because the man's gotten 1,000 yards every year.
So I'm not saying he doesn't still. He almost came up with 1,000 yards last year.
So you can't really
despite
miss
the collarbone this time around. But I mean, that's a good question. Put a pin in that one.
It's a good one.
Put a pin in that one.
Ooh, we got breaking news.
Okay, so that and thankfully we got a whole top of the next hour for that.
Oh, I need it now.
I don't even know what it is.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast from 30 for 30 Podcasts.
Did you think someone got shot? Brian Patta, senior defensive lineman from Miami, gunned down.
The key to this case, it's Brian.
An hour before he died, he was on the phone arguing with somebody.
This might be a hit.
You want the truth. They just want a conviction.
Being placed under arrest.
We had a killer amongst us.
Murder at the U. Listen now.